one other influence in my life that I should describe at this point, in that early time, is of the New York Public Library. There was a branch of the library at just about half a block down on Rivington Street from the University Settlement. And as a youngster, I spent an enormous amount of time in the library and in the books that I dragged home from the library, being absolutely absorbed in books of history and biography. In the early works, novels on the American frontier, by Blank, and in the romantic and swashbuckling histories of Hugo and the French romantics. It was a fabulous a tapestry of excitement and learning for my young imagination. Perhaps my interest in libraries, which I've pursued in the House and Senate, dates from the enormous impact upon me of those early experiences. I've been often asked, going back to those and somewhat later days, what is the book or books that most influenced me in my thinking and career. It is a little known work. I know it well and identify it completely. It is a little known work called by Thomas Buckle, a famous English historian and philosopher of history, called An Introduction to the Civilization of England. As I remember it, it came in four volumes, and Buckle was a man of the middle 19th century, apparently was a man of some means, hardly a starving author, and worked from an enormous library with great erudition. He took 30 years to write the introduction, and never got to write the book to which it was an introduction. But the introduction was intended to demonstrate and prove a theory of Buckle's, and that is that history was not happenstance, but was scientific and could be predictable, and that it was based essentially upon the climate and soil. As the finite conditioner of the culture and civilization which it nurtured. How I came on Thomas Buckle's book is an interesting proposition, too. In my very early days of working for a living, when I was, say, about 17 years of age, I read a column by a very famous columnist in the Hearst newspapers, then the editor of those of the New York Journal, in which he spoke with great respect and admiration for the concepts of Buckle as embodied in this book. It attracted my attention. I acquired the book or drew it out of the library and read it avidly. Indeed, read it twice, avidly. And it was probably the single greatest contribution to my own thinking and future. Paragraph. Reverting now again to my own background as a child and youth, engaged in a business of collecting bad debts, which he managed to make a fair living. And as a result of that, as the oldest child, he wanted very much to bring our family out of the Lower East Side, and to bring my father especially out of the terribly hard work and dismal conditions under which he worked, which were obviously bound to shorten his life. Little did my brother know that the sheer shock of the change would shorten his life even more. And so, along about 1917, when I had completed half a term at DeWitt Clinton High School, and incidentally my most disastrous educational experience, as I failed one course completely, algebra. And this is an interesting point. When we finally moved from the Lower East Side, which was to Easton Parkway in Brooklyn, my father remained over in the Lower East Side for about 6 months before he would move, and even then, it was only because he fell ill, and perhaps somewhat attributable to the shock of being semi-separated from my mother. She lived in Brooklyn and ran back and forth to try to tend to his needs and ours as well. In any case, when we got to Brooklyn, I enrolled in the boys' high school in Brooklyn. And in my first term of making up algebra, attained the highest mark I believe I had ever attained in anything in my schooling, 100% in algebra for that term. It is perhaps an indication of my character that I have invariably had a strong reaction to adversity. While not being nearly as effective in the respective conditions which may bring it on. My father soon thereafter fell ill, had to be operated on, and was operated on for gallstones. Then moved with us to Brooklyn and abandoned the Lower East Side, but never recovered, and passed away in the summer of 1919, when we had rented a bungalow through my brother's relative success in his business at Arvern. Died peacefully from post-operative infection, and literally in the arms of his family. Dear man, with a beautiful smile, the profound comfort of his orthodoxy, but one of the most colossal economic failures known to man. My mother carried on with indomitable spirit, and literally a rock of Gibraltar personality, philosophy which accepted everything, went everywhere, tried to do all that one person could do, even when her eyesight began to fail and her other faculties. Lived to see children, lived to see her children prosper mightily. Indeed, saw me sworn in as a member of the Congress in 1947. I lived to see me married and with two children, and passed away at the age of approximately 79 in 54. But before, I had been nominated for or even aspired to the office of Attorney General of the State of New York, which occurred in that year. I have developed the situation of these early years, and to which I will add, of course, a good deal of the detail of my career as a lawyer in New York and in the Army, because these are not of record among my papers, and there is really no clue to them except my own recollection. I do not intend, however, in this preliminary draft of what the book of my memoirs will contain, to go into the same kind of detail in respect of later developments, because there is an enormous resource available in the record, as I will later describe. Brooklyn was also a new world for me, where I learned to play sandlot baseball, and the beginnings of an interest in tennis, which has stayed with me throughout my life. We lived in the Brownsville section of Brooklyn for some 2 years. This was the period of the end of World War I, and I experienced the delirium of the armistice there. It was also the beginning of a certain amount of political orientation by me. I have not told the story as yet in this recording of my relations with my brother, who was a passionate believer in social and economic justice, and who was almost completely, who was the member of the family who had literally brought us out of Egypt to with the Lower East Side, like Moses, who had broken his way into the business world. Educated him, been educated almost entirely at night beyond the public school level, having had to work during the day in order to advance himself, and had begun the process of becoming a lawyer, studying at night at Fordham Law School and paying his tuition out of his earnings from the bad debt collection business. This passionate idealism led him into the Socialist Party of Eugene Debs and Norman Thomas, of Morris Hillquit and Sidney Hillman. And because of my devotion to him as a youngster, I followed him in that course and can clearly remember at the age of about 14 or 15 speaking on soapboxes in the Brownsville section of Brooklyn under the auspices of the Socialist Party about the need for social and economic justice, about trade unionism, and about unemployment compensation, welfare, and other concepts associated with the Socialist Party's doctrines as we emerged from the regulation and direction of World War I. The basis for this kind of thinking had been laid on the Lower East Side when I took what are now and have been for so much of my life memorable walks with my brother from the Lower East Side up to what was about as a child, 14th Street and 2nd Avenue, through the Yiddish Theater District and the Intellectuals Cafe District of 2nd Avenue, including the Cafe Royal, which was where we had the privilege of only looking in through the window, as we could never afford to go inside, to see the Jewish journalists and dramatists and actors and other intellectuals in their social